All right, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. I'm going to deal with a familiar story in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. And I entitled this sermon, How to be a Giant Killer. How to be a giant killer. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, God, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in your house today. Father, we know, Father, that all of us are here, God, to hear from you and not from me. God, I know, Father, there's so much going on in the other classes and things like that, Father. And God, we all just want you to meet with us, Father. We want you to feed us today, as we always ask. So, Father, please meet with us. Please speak to our hearts. And I pray, Father, God, that your people would be encouraged, God, as a result of being in your house today. And, God, we give you all the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 32. And I'll just get right into this. The Bible says, when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hands and chose him five smooth stones out of the bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into your hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the seat thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, I know most of us know this story of David and Goliath. David was given a job by his father to go down to the battle where the Philistines and the children of God were at war. David's father, Jesse, said, David, I want you to take this food, and I want you to take it to your brothers. I want them to have something to eat while they're fighting in that battle down there. David took care of his animals. He took care of the sheep. He gave his responsibility to someone else, and he took his food, and he went down to where the fight was, to where the battle was. And when David gets there, David notices that there's no action. And I can just imagine, David thought he was going to see some action. He thought he was going to see some blood flying, some arms flying. He thought he was going to see a lot of stuff happening. But when he gets down there, he notices there's nothing going on. He gets there and he sees that everything's quiet. Everything is quiet. And he goes over to one of the guys and he says, hey, what's happening? What's going on? One of the men said, I don't know if you know this, but there's a giant down there. His name is Goliath. And he is challenging anybody from the camp of Israel, God's people, to come down and fight him. He's challenging anyone. But let me tell you something, David. This is no small fella. This is a giant. And if you read earlier in this passage of Scripture, God gives good, great detail about this giant. The Bible tells us that he was over 9 feet tall. Now, I know some think I'm big. But he was over 9 feet tall. That means he was almost twice my size. Now me, I think I could have taken him too. But the Bible says he was a big guy. The armor that he had. Some believe it weighed between just the armor that he wore. Some believe the armor weighed between 150 and 200 pounds. Just the armor. He was a big guy. And God shows us that this giant, he was no ordinary man. He was a big guy. Now, I know the Bible teaches that there were big guys in that day. But God shows us and tells us that this man was a giant. David looks around and says, how come nobody's fighting him? Everybody's complacent. There's a giant down there in the valley. He comes out twice a day. He comes out in the morning. He comes out at night. And he says this, I dare anybody to come down here and fight me. I dare anybody. If somebody can beat me, then all of the Philistines will serve you. But if I beat whoever you send, you guys got to serve us. And everybody is sitting around because they are afraid. The Bible tells us. They were afraid of the giant. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of giants today. There's a lot of giants in our society that we're facing today. There's a lot of giants in our country. And if truth be told, a lot of God's people are afraid. A lot of God's people are just sitting around, watching, waiting. And God is going to show us that we have every tool that we need to defeat the giants that come into our lives. David said, listen, I can defeat that giant. They take him to Saul. I can only imagine when Saul sees this little kid coming to him. He gets the word that there's somebody that thinks that they can defeat this giant, and they bring this little kid to him. And he probably laughed when he saw David coming He probably just like, okay, let's get this over with. But he said, okay, you want to fight him? David said, I believe I can beat him. He said, okay. He said, you take my armor. You take my shield and you take my sword. You take all of this armor that I have. And David, we know what he said. David said, no, Saul. I haven't worked with those. I haven't proven those. I'm going to take what I know works. I'm going to take what I've used. And David goes out. And you know the story. David goes out and he goes down to the valley. He picks up 5 smooth stones. And the Bible says he ran down to meet the giant. He ran down there to meet the giant. And as he was running, he puts a stone in his sling. And Goliath is cursing him. Laughing at him. Calling him a fool. Saying, you're stupid. Look at this giant making fun of this little guy, this little child of God. Look at this giant laughing at him. But what that giant didn't know who was on God's side. That giant didn't know that David had the power of God. And you know what each and every one of us need as we fight our giants? We need the power of God. Of God. Now I know we're living in a day where God is completely gone. He's completely gone. I use the illustration. I said, this was last week, I used the illustration. I said, when my mother told my father that I was being bad, my mother said, you're going to get it. My mother would said, you're going to get it. Your dad is going to get you. And I said, my father, when he came home, he would come home, and when he would come up the steps, he would never take one step. He would take 2 steps at a time. And we would hear him. Boom. And he would walk into that room and he would take care of business. He would spank us. That's what we called it today. And I said this. He would spank us. And some of the people, the kids, when I said that, they said, what? What? You see, I think this has been a tool of the devil to take discipline out of our society. Kids don't know what you're going to get it means today. And when you talk about the wrath of God being on someone, they have no clue. They have no clue. You say, why? Because we've kicked God out. He's some kind of man upstairs, that guy that's out there. But let me tell you something. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And he loves us. And he wants us to live a wonderful, victorious life. There's all kinds of giants that come into our lives. There's giants of a bad attitude. There's giants of rebellion. There's giants of music. There's giants of bad friends. There's giants of not praying. There's giants of lust. There's giants of worldliness. Giants of unsurrendered lives. Giants of mega debt. Giants of gambling. Giants of discouragement. There's all kinds of giants that come into our lives. And they're big giants. And we know some of those giants come into our lives because of what we do. And some just come into our lives. God gives us some examples of giant killers. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a giant, didn't they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't bow down to this idol, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Look at Joseph in prison because of a lie. Look at that giant. Billy Sunday was a drunk, and he could not put that bottle down. That giant, that bottle was a giant. And he kept going back to that bottle, day after day. He could not get rid of that bottle. It was a giant. John Mark, Paul said, had a giant. Peter had a giant when somebody accused him of being with Jesus. You know, all of us face giants in our lives. But you know what God wants us to be today? God wants each and every one of us to be a giant killer. And each and every one of us can be a giant killer. How to be a giant killer? Number one, you got to have the right equipment. You got to have the right equipment. We know our enemy and who our enemy is. He's the devil. And the devil is slick. And the devil knows how to get each and every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows them. And some of us, we think that this life that we're in, we think is just a game. But the Bible says this life that we're in is a battle. It's a battle. And we have to have the right equipment. You take a doctor. When I'm sick, I go to the doctor. And I expect the doctor to take that stethoscope and put it on my chest. When a plumber comes to my house, I expect that plumber to have a plumber. A plunge. When I take my car to the mechanic, I expect him to have the right equipment. When I call for an electrician to come to my house, I want him to have the right equipment. When I want some carpet laid in my house, I want that carpenter to have the right equipment. Well, if we're going to defeat our giants, we have got to use the right equipment. And what is the right equipment? It's this book. This book is the right equipment. Now, I know there's some in here that are afraid to carry a book, even this book, to church. We try to give this Bible to some of the kids, and some of the kids, they think that this book has leprosy. We say, here, take this Bible. I want you to carry it into church. And they jump back like it has leprosy. Listen to these verses. A promise from this book. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Malachi 4:3. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Romans 8:38-39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 John 4:4. Ye are God's little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he. You know it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a promise God gives us. And some of us say, I don't know those promises. Yeah, you don't know them because you don't have the right equipment. You're fighting your battles and you're using all kinds of means that don't work. You're not going to defeat your giants that come into your lives. But God will. And you know what God does? God wants to defeat them for you. Heard an illustration about a man that was in a battle, a sergeant. He saw his Marine going from foxhole to foxhole, and he caught up with him and he said, "Hey, Marine." And forgive me, Marines, but this is what the story was. He said, "Hey, Marine, where's your helmet?" He said, "I left it in the tank, sir." He said, "Marine, where's your belt?" He said, "I left it in the tank, sir." And he looked at him and he said, "Marine, where's your rifle?" He said, "Sir, I was being shot at and I left it in the tank." How many of us get up each and every morning and we go to battle and we leave our rifle at home? We leave our sword at home. We leave our equipment at home. We said, "Man, this world is getting bad. This world is getting bad." It sure is. And here's the answer to this world getting bad. We need to have the right equipment. Number two, we need to confront the giants. We need to be bold. I was told that, now somebody told me this. They said, if you're out and a dog, a stray dog, comes running at you, right? You're visiting or whatever you're doing. They said, the best thing you can do is stop, turn around, and face the dog that's coming at you 100 miles an hour. With teeth, you know. Stop and face that dog that's coming at you. And I said, okay. All right, as long as I have a car that I can jump on or something that I can get to, that's happened to me a few times, and I didn't confront that dog. I ran. And I don't want to be silly about this. But God wants us to confront our giants. We have to approach it right. How did David have the confidence to approach that giant? I won't read it. But David said, "I was keeping my father's sheep. I was on the back side of the property. I was keeping my father's sheep. Nobody was watching me. I was out there all by myself. And a lion came out of the woods. And I saw that lion. That lion came out of the woods. And that lion went up and attacked one of those sheep. Those sheep were my responsibility. I can't have that." David said, "I went and I grabbed that lion. And I tore the sheep out of its mouth. And I killed that lion." He said, "Not only did a lion do it, but a bear also." Don't you like this country? "A bear also." He said, "A bear came out. And a bear jumped on one of my sheep. And you know what I did? I didn't just sit back and let it happen." David said, "And when I saw that bear go out and grab that lion, that sheep, I went out and I tore it out of his mouth and I killed it." when nobody was watching. Listen to me, kids. This is how you get your strength. When nobody's watching. You want to beat some giant someday? When nobody's watching, you get up every morning. You get your Bible. You pray. You read your Bible and you pray. When nobody's watching you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get some strength. And one day when some giants start sticking their heads up, you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to defeat those giants. You know why? Because you got some practice. You got some practice. You say it's hard. I know it's hard. You say they're going to laugh at me. I know they're going to laugh at you. I remember walking down the hallways at my school and kids saying, "Hey, here comes the preacher, man. Here comes the preacher." And I didn't like that. I didn't like when they saw that number on my hand and I would have to hide my hand because I knew that if they saw that number, that bus number from out there, that bus number on my hand, I knew what they were going to say. I knew that they were going to laugh at me. And I didn't know it at the time that I was learning how to fight some giants. But day after day, and I know it's funny to some, but day after day, I was up reading the Bible. You say, "Todd, you're bragging." I have nothing to brag about but Jesus. And I'm so glad that God helped me. And I say that for just to try to be an encouragement. Nobody may be watching you, but God is in heaven. And God is. And God knows that every time you get up and you read that Bible and you pray, God knows that God is preparing you. But if we can't even do that, no wonder so many giants are destroying this Christianity. So many giants are destroying Christianity. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Stephen was stoned because he confronted his giants. Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." But I want you to know something. No matter what size your giant may be, God is not worried about that giant. No matter what size your giant may be, God is not worried about him. Not at all. Number three, we need to fight him. We need to have the right equipment. We need to confront him. Number three, we need to fight him. We need to fight him. The Bible says, in verse number 48, the Bible says, "And David ran down to meet the giant." David ran down to meet the giant. He had some guts, didn't he? I have this drinking problem. I'm going to run down to fight that giant. I can't be faithful. I'm going to run down and meet that giant. I can't stay off the gambling boat. I'm going to run down and meet that giant. I've been practicing. I've been practicing. I've been in a book. I've been reading every day. I've been praying every day. I've had people praying with me. I have help. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run down and meet that giant. I'm going to fight him. There's a term when I was in school. Are you a man or are you a Marty? Marty was a big sis in college. So whenever something would happen, you know, there was a fight going on or something like that, we would say, "Are you a man or are you a Marty?" Well, of course you had to be a man, so you had to fight. You know, there's sometimes it's right to fight. And when the devil is trying to destroy your life, when he's trying to destroy your wife, when he's trying to destroy your kids, when he's trying to destroy the church, when he's trying to destroy this country, you know what it's time to do? It's time to gird up. It's time to run. It's time to pick up some stones. It's time to start slinging. You say, what's going on? It's time to fight. Now, I know that there's a mentality today and a philosophy today. I know to just get along. To just get along. This thing with same-sex marriage, everything is just to get along. When we were out East West last week, in the paper out there, the big headlines, should we allow polygamy? Everything's just get along. Why not? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? What's wrong with polygamy? What's wrong with pornography? Why? We forget that God said that he's angry at the wicked every day. He's angry at the wicked every day. What do we know about this fight? We know it's a hard fight. It's not easy. God didn't say the fight was going to be easy. You see, some of these giants that we have, they're our fault. Those giants that come into our lives, they come into our lives because of something that we've done. And it's a hard fight because not only do you have to fight that giant, but you have to fight yourself. You have to fight you. And it's a hard thing. And that's why I tell the kids, man, if you open that door to the devil, I'm telling you, that's all he does is sticks a little foot in. That's all he does is sticks a little. You open the door to the devil, he sticks a little foot in. You know what it to get him out, just that little foot. But we know some have opened the door wide open. And the devil and his minions have marched in. And we got giants all over the place. It's a hard fight. But you got the right equipment. You're confronting them. And now you're fighting them. It's a lonely fight. Sometimes you may have to lose some friends. Those so-called friends that come over. And they bring all of the nonsense. I know it's family. But I have this giant that I have to fight. I know it's family. But they're bringing this giant into my house. You know, sometimes you may have to say, I can't have that. And they may get mad at you. They may curse you. They may look at you and say, I'm never coming back to this house again. And I simply say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be a giant killer. And for those that keep coming back, when they come back, can we sit down and read the Bible? Can we sit down and read the Bible? Hey, this is what the Bible says. Let's sit down. And you know what they'll do. They'll start running. But here it is. The Bible says, the fight is not ours. The Bible says in verse number 47, if you look here with me. In verse number 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is whose? Boy, what an encouragement. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And I got to give it to him. I'm having problems with my kids. That's not my battle. I got to give it to who? I'm having problems with my husband. I'm having problems with my wife. I'm having problems all over the place. Listen, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And you know what? I think he'll do a better job than we will. I had two kids fighting in class. They're trying to go at it. And I tell them, I said, okay, all right, stop right here. I said, either you guys can finish it or I can finish it. You guys can finish it, okay. You can finish it and be done with it, this fight, shake hands, and just walk away. That's what I mean by you can be finished with it. I'm not just going to let you keep fighting. So you may as well end it. So I say, you can finish it or I'll finish it. But you're not going to like it if I finish it. Because if I finish it, I'm going to your mother, I'm going to your mother, and I'm going to tell them that both of you were bad. And if that doesn't solve it, I'm going to suspend both of you from church for a week. Either you can finish it, shake hands, and be done with it, or I can. What do you want to do? 9 times out of 10, they shake hands. Well, they try to shake hands. You say, what's the point? The battle's not ours. The battle is not ours. The battle's the Lord's. And God wants to fight it for us. But when was the last time we simply got into this? Tomorrow, we go to work. I don't think we ought to, you know, go to work and, hey, everybody, I'm a Christian. But just by your testimony, the world will know that you're different. And I think they ought to at least see you praying. They ought to at least see you praying. Because there has to be a time when we, as God's people, we start running down to those giants. Grabbing those stones, swinging them above our heads, and flying them through the air, and watching those giants come down. God wants us to live victorious Christian lives. And yet so many are defeated. They're defeated. The devil has got them down, and they stay down. They stay down. There's bus kids in here right now that are looking at me, that are down. And they stay down. They stay down. They don't get up in the morning and read their Bible. They don't get up in the morning and pray. They stay down. And it's just the cycle continues. The cycle continues. Somebody has to start to fight some giants. We can't blame God for this mess. We can't blame God. God has promised us. He said nothing will hurt us. Nothing, kids. Nothing will hurt us, he said. nothing. So why don't we start to say, you know what? I'm going to be a giant killer. I'm going to confront these giants. I'm going to fight them, and I'm going to use the right equipment. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. There's people, there's all kinds of people in this room that knows that know I'm telling the truth, that can stand up and give testimony and say, you know what? There was a giant. There was one man that said he had a monkey on his back, and that monkey became a gorilla. And God took the gorilla off of him. And God wants to do the same for each and every one of us. God wants us to be giant killers. Let's look at the life of David. Be encouraged, because God wants a wonderful life for you. But somebody's got to turn from their sin and turn to God. Let's pray. Father,